We want to draw our hearts to Matthew's gospel very briefly, the first chapter, verses 21 through 25, as we begin this series on the exalted names of Christmas. The exalted names of Christmas is our theme. And we're going to look for the next 3 to 4 weeks at the specific names that was designated to Jesus, the Christ, the Lord, when he came into the world, the prophecies that were given to identify the one that the prophets spoke about. Mm-hmm. He was born in specific places at a specific time with specific names, with a specific role that he will play in human history. And there's nowhere in the world we can find Jesus being born in Nazareth, because that's not what prophecy says. It said he will be born in Bethlehem of Judea. Mm-hmm. But he grew up in Nazareth. Right. But he came from eternity. So we're going to look at the many multifaceted names of God in human flesh, amen, the incarnation. Matthew chapter 1, verses 21 through 25. If you find that, please stand for a sign of reverence and honor for the word of God. The angel that appeared to Joseph said, "She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and called his name Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank you for sending your son Jesus into the world in order to redeem the world. For your word reveals that the world is already condemned because they do not believe in the one whom you have sent. And those who do believe in the one you have sent, there is no condemnation to them. Thank you for delivering us from condemnation. Thank you for bringing us into a personal and intimate relationship with yourself and the person of your son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for the revealed word that you've given us called the Bible. Thank you, God, that you awaken our hearts and minds to the truth of who you are, not as we see you, but as you reveal yourself, that you are a Savior. And we thank you for saving us from eternal separation from you, from eternal death, for giving us eternal life, for breaking the hold of sin in our lives, that we may live holy unto you. Thank you for indwelling us, residing in us in the person of the Holy Spirit, to help us to be like the one whom you sent, the one that the angel told Joseph that his name will be called Jesus, Yeshua, Savior, that he will save his people from their sins. Thank you that we are your people today, and help us to embrace this reality of your saving power in our lives. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Speak, Lord, your people are listening. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. What's in a name? Juliet asked Romeo that question and answered it herself. May we just add, that's a sister for you. That which we call a rose by any other word would smell just as sweet.
Yes.
Simple truth is names do make a difference to people. Just think about it. Parents agonize over the names of their children. It is not a simple, casual decision for many. Some of you were named after some famous person or a beloved member of your family. Your name is something special. There are seasons of life, as well as reasons in life, where we use our full names. Some of you go by a nickname that someone hung on you for various reasons. Some of you have special names that you call members of your family. There are terms of endearment that express your love and affection. Sometimes people go to court to have their name changed. Again, the simple truth is names are significant to us. If names are important to us in our culture, they were even more so in biblical culture. Names were filled with meaning. Adam means earth or dust. Abraham, the father of many nations. Isaac, laughter. Rachel named her son Benoni, which means son of my sorrow. And Jacob said, we won't have that. I'm changing his name to Benjamin, son of my right hand. This is especially true for the names given to our Lord. His names and titles, more than 250, are a twofold revelation to us. It reveals what Jesus Christ is in himself, his name, and also what he wants to do for us. There are 256 names given in the Bible for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I suppose this was because he was infinitely beyond all that any one name could express, his salvific power. I want to deal with five qualities of his name and why his name is exalted and why we worship the name that is above all names. It is focusing on the name of Christ, the name of the Messiah, the name of the Savior, that causes us to worship, because that name causes one to wonder, to ponder in amazement and curiosity at times. But it will draw you into a place of worship when you understand his name. Number one, it is an esteemed name. It's a name that is held in high esteem and high regard. Bernard of Clairvaux once wrote, "No voice can sing, nor heart can frame, nor can the memory find a sweeter sound than thy blessed name, O Savior of mankind." Did you know that in the Gospels, the Christ, the Messiah, is called by that particular name over 500 times? Jesus appears in the New Testament 1,267 times alone. But Scripture isn't the only place where we find this name to be highly esteemed and regarded. If we were to glance through a hymn book, we would discover that over the centuries, the hymn writers seem to prefer this name as well. For they have memorialized it in numerous songs and hymns and spiritual songs, like "How Sweet the Name of Jesus Sounds." Jesus, sweetest name I know. Take the name of Jesus with you. Blessed be the name. There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music in my ear. The sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me. The carols declare, "Jesus, Jesus, oh, what a wonderful child." There is a name. To me, this says that all of the names and all of the titles that are given to the Messiah, the one most beloved by his followers, is that simple but profound name, Jesus. Jesus in English, Joshua, transliteration of the Hebrew, Yeshua, When you say Joshua, you're saying Jesus, you're saying Savior. It means deliverer. It means the one who rescues. Matthew 1:21, our text, the angel told Joseph he will deliver his people from their sins. Now, this is very important because he was sent to deliver people from something people could not deliver themselves from.
That's right.
Now, what is it in your life that you can't deliver yourself from? That's the thing you need to turn over to Jesus.
Yes, sir.
You need to turn that over to the deliverer. Because deliverance doesn't come through necessarily talking about the issue.
That's right.
It doesn't come through psychoanalysis or therapy or group therapy. It doesn't come through deliverance, through discussion. Mm-hmm. It doesn't come through a process or methodology. It comes through a man, and his name is Jesus. It comes through a Savior, a God-man, an anointed man, an appointed man, who was sent into the world to save the world. And so when we as believers are struggling with sin in our lives, with habits and attitudes and hurts and hang-ups in our lives that keeps us from worshiping his great name, then that means we don't believe his name is what it means. We don't really believe that it can deliver. Because that's what his name means. I'm talking about Jesus.
Right.
It means deliverer. It means rescuer. It means savior. It's the one who takes us in our wrecked state and salvage our lives together. So if you feel like you're in a wreck this morning, I know a savior that can salvage your life.
Yes, sir.
If you feel your life is wrecked, if you feel like you tow up from the flow up, hey, we have a savior.
Yeah.
Who can deliver us from the inside out. But you must believe that great name.
Yes, sir.
You must bow to his name. Not only say his name or articulate his name or sing his name, but believe in his name. Because
yeah,
it's only through believing in his name that the power of that name is transferred.
Yeah.
It's only through believing in that great name that his nature is revealed. His majesty is made known. His mystery is unveiled.
Yes, sir.
When we believe in his name.
Yes, sir, preacher.
1 John chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, it says, my little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous.
That's right.
He is the atoning sacrifice, the propitiation for our sins.
That's right.
And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world.
That's correct.
This is the problem with humanity. This is the problem that humanity will not acknowledge. They will not confess this. They will not testify this, even in a court of law, that they are a sinner and they need a savior. They are intent on thinking they are good and they are great and they are a progressive and they are smart and they are beautiful and they are powerful and they are proud. They are successful. They are achievers. They are makers and shakers, you know. That's humanity wants to boast in its own greatness. It does not want to deal with the one thing that keeps them from greatness. That is their sin. And to be great, Jesus redefined the whole paradigm of greatness.
Yes, he did.
It is not to be the most powerful, famous, richest, most beautiful person in the world. It's to be the most humblest.
That's right.
To be the servant. To be least. The Bible says, Jesus said, if you exalt yourself, I will abase you. I mean, bring you down. But if you bring yourself down, I will exalt you. See, he redefines greatness because of that great name. The angel declared the announcement of his birth in Luke 2:11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. You see the emphasis on the Savior? In the Old Testament, God is revealed as Savior. And the New Testament, Jesus is revealed as Savior. So we follow this syllogism, Jesus is God. Because he's Savior. He's a Savior. So whatever our aches and pains may be, that we go to others for salvation, for deliverance and healing, it can only come through the man Jesus Christ. There is one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. Why? Because he's a Savior. Because he was sent by God. Because he fulfilled prophecy. Because he is the one that was said he will come and he will, that the serpent will bruise his heel, that mortal wound, but he would crush the serpent's head. That's Jesus. That's the one who delivers us from the power of sin and death. That's the one who makes us acceptable to a holy, holy, holy God. How many times do we try to make ourselves acceptable to others? Mm-hmm. Just in order to be in their presence, yeah. To be in their company. We will jump through the hoops. We will go through the process in order for that person that we so esteem to receive us. Mm-hmm. Beloved, we didn't have to jump through hoops because we can't. We don't bring nothing to the table of salvation because we can't.
That's right.
Because we are sinners. In need of a Savior. That's the message of Christmas. May I add that that is the message of Easter? May I continue to say that's the message of the cross? That's the message of the church that is lost in the commercialism and popularization of our system, which is all about economics, entertainment, and pleasure. And when you come into the church, you want entertainment, you want economics and pleasure. And so people seek out to find places where they can get this felt need met instead of understanding they have a real need that's being ignored. And that real need is salvation. Salvation from what, preacher? Salvation from the penalty of sin, which is eternal death. Salvation from the power of sin. Salvation from the very presence of sin. That's what Jesus offers on Christmas. Well, that's what he offers every day of the year, but especially on Christmas, especially on Easter. He offers man what man can never do for himself, and that is to forgive him and to reconcile him and to redeem him and to bring him back into fellowship face to face with a holy God. In Acts 4:12, Peter says, and there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven among men, among humanity, among human beings, by which we must be saved. But we believe religion can save us, politics can save us, economics can save us, a good plan can save us, a five-year plan can save us. We think that somehow what we do in this world will make an impact on eternity. Where will you be 100 years from now? The world will be going on as is, but where will you be? That's the greatest question. In the end, where is my end? Where will I be? Where is my destiny? My destiny, people speak of destiny as attainment and achievement, but the word destiny and destination is a place,
yeah.
Right? When you're talking about your destiny, you're talking about your place, your end. But Jesus is the only one that can take you to your destiny.
Correct.
He's the only one that can take you to your end. He's the only one that can take you to your place. And he says that place is with him. He said, I go to prepare a place. That's your destiny. That where I am, there you will be also. If you know and believe the Savior. There is the name. And this is a name that has been and still is a beloved name. In fact, a song comes to mind. Maybe you can sing it with me. Jesus, 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 there's something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus. Like the fragrance after the rain, after the rain. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name. This leads to the second thing I want to talk about and point out about this particular name of our Lord. Not only is it an esteemed name, but it's an easy name. It's an easy name. It's not hard. It is so easy that it is pronounced almost the same way in pretty much any language in the world. You can travel the world and listen to people talk in other languages, but when it gets to that name, they'll say Jesus. It's just like when you go to other places, you can hear people talk in other languages and they'll say, hallelujah. There's certain things that people say that it translates in every language. When we talk to our children, and this is so important, that children grasp quickly the name of Jesus. You remember the song we were taught? Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me, for the Bible tells me so. How many of you have ever taught a children's Sunday school class and seen how even early in life, they easily answer questions about Jesus? Now, you'll trick them on other names. You start saying, you know, Jehovah Jireh, what are you talking about? They'll be thrown. Jehovah Shammah, Jehovah Tiskanu, Jehovah Mikladesh, you'll lose them. But if you say Jesus, they'll perk up. Ask them a question. Who healed the sick? They'll say Jesus. Who fed the 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish? They'll say quickly, Jesus. Who loved you so much that he died on the cross for you? Little child would say, Jesus.
Yes, he
will. See, it's that kind of childlike faith that we need to embrace.
Yes, sir.
Especially this time of the season we call Christmas.
Yeah.
When we want to make everything about Christmas child-oriented.
Yeah.
Right? That even wonderment is to be a child. Because as you get older, you don't wonder anymore. You already know. You don't wonder about life. You already live life. And you tell those who are young, you don't know what you're talking about. You haven't lived long enough. You lose the wonderment of living. You lose the mystery of life and living. But that name, Jesus, brings wonderment to the heart and mind of a child. And I don't mean just a child in terms of age, but a child-like faith.
Yeah.
It brings amazement and wonderment to one who, with childlike faith, utters the name Jesus. Perhaps he did this by naming the Savior, naming Jesus, Jesus, naming Yeshua, Yeshua. Maybe he did this to help us understand that we do not come to him through religious traditions, religious ceremony, or perfect obedience to the law. Nor do we come to him through intellectualism, and logic, and learning, and culture. We come to him by faith through his Son, Jesus. Now, that message is so simple that a child whose heart is open to the truth of the gospel can receive it. and be born again as a child. No, they don't have to go through what we went through and then come to God. They can get God early in life if you present the right Jesus to them. And then if you exemplify the right Jesus before them. John 1:17, John said, "For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." In fact, the Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Saved from the grip of sin, saved from the grip of the world, saved from the grip of the flesh, saved from the grip of the devil, saved from our own selves, the grip of our own selfishness that holds us back from being like Christ. Many of us say, "Well, you don't know my heart like I know my heart." May I just add, you don't even know your heart like you think you do. Jeremiah says, "The heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it?" You need a Savior. You need a Savior because you don't know yourself as well as you think you know yourself. And you don't understand life as great as you think you do just because you live long. You need a Savior. Only Jesus can save a sin-sick soul. And only Jesus can help a person to see their need for Him. His name provokes that heart-centered analysis that thousands, many thousands of times that must have happened over the centuries as people knew their life was at an end. And at the end of their life, they cried out, "Jesus, save me." Or the people of the World Trade Center towers collapsing around them. "Oh, beloved, someone cried out, 'Jesus, save me.'" Or soldiers dying on the battlefield before they took that last breath. I bet you the name Jesus came out.
That's right.
They didn't say, "Muhammad, save me," or "Krishna, save me," or "Buddha, save me." "Jesus, save me." It was Peter sinking in the Galilean Sea, cried out, "Jesus, save me." Over the years, how many tens of thousands of times have people cried out at the very end in times just like these, "Jesus, save me." It was the thief at the cross who said to Jesus, "When you come into your kingdom, please, sir, remember me." Oh, was he not crying out for a Savior? Oh, yes, he was, because Jesus said to him, "Respond immediately, today, you will be with me in paradise." That simple name was the key to where they're now spending eternity.
That's right.
In Acts 2:21, it says, "Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." So Jesus is an esteemed name. Mm-hmm. Jesus is an easy name. And lastly for today, not lastly in the series, but this last point, it is an enduring name. Do you realize that even though our Lord was born in obscurity over 2,000 years ago, died like a criminal at the age of 33 on trumped up charges, even though he only ministered 3 years, and even though that ministry was in a relatively secluded part of the world, do you realize that in spite of all this, his name is still the most well-known name in history?
That's correct.
Wow. It's an enduring name.
Yes, it is.
The great libraries of the world have entire walls filled with books written about Jesus.
Yes.
The name Jesus have been on the cover of Life and Time and Newsweek and National Geographic more than any other person in history. Here are a few examples. Do you realize that even though he only ministered 3 years, that whenever public opinion polls are taken, they ask this question: who is the most admired man in history? Yes, the name comes up. Jesus of Nazareth. They got the right one. It's Jesus of Nazareth. Has no trouble of outdistancing the other names that are presented. Emperors have tried to destroy his name, eliminate his name. Philosophies have tried to reason his name out of existence.
Yeah.
Tyrants have tried to wash it from the face of the earth with the very blood of those who claim it. Yet the name of Jesus still stands. Napoleon said this, "I search in vain in history to find the similar to Jesus Christ or anything which can approach the gospel. Nations pass away, thrones crumble, but the church of Jesus remains." End of quote. It is indeed an enduring name. In fact, as Paul says in Philippians 2:10, the name of Jesus will endure until the end of time. Every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. It's an enduring name.
Yes.
When the final day dawns, every tongue that has ever uttered a word, every single voice of Adam's race shall rise in one great mighty chorus to proclaim the name of Jesus. So the name of Jesus is esteemed. It is easy.
Yeah.
It is enduring. That's the name.
Amen.
That we must have on our hearts and lips this Christmas season. When others are uttering brand names and names of consumer items and commercial appeal, let the Redeemer of the Lord say so. Let us talk about the name that saves, the name that delivers from worry about what you're going to buy and purchase, that causes you anxiety, that leaves you in debt, that leaves you frustrated after you've spent everything that you saved, and find out that those that you saved before don't really appreciate it at all. Come on, somebody. We need to talk about that name that rescues from a preoccupation with the temporal, a preoccupation with the mundane. So focused on the here and the now that we forget there's a hereafter to embrace. The name that heals the brokenhearted. During Christmas season, there are more people dive into depression, on the brink of suicide, and don't experience the joy that Jesus brings.
Yes, sir.
Or they don't get the joy that that gift should bring.
Yes, sir.
Or that that meal should engender. Mm-hmm. They're still left empty, seeking, looking, and asking for more. Let the redeemed have the name of Jesus on our lips. Because the name of Jesus can heal the sin-sick soul. It can mend the brokenhearted. It can give peace to the troubled mind. The name that gives peace and pain and unspeakable joy and sorrow. That name that is esteemed, easy, and enduring. The angel said to Joseph, "You shall call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins." Let's pray. Father, empower us this Christmas season in the midst of all the festivities, family, fun, and fellowship. Help us to respond to what the angel said to Joseph. Call his name Jesus, for he will deliver his people from their sins. If this Christmas is going to be a very special Christmas, a very merry Christmas, help us to confront the real issue that keeps the happiness, the merriness away. And that is sin that separates us from your love, your grace, your mercy, your peace, and your joy. May we be those men and women who will be the prophets of our day and proclaim to this world, a Savior has come, and his name is Jesus Christ, the Lord. In his name we pray. Amen.